When I had my first signing, Mom insisted I get a nice suit, have Gia fit it. That's been over a decade. Unlikely, Eve thought. Have you ever had anyone come in and do the curtain things, drapes, whatever? Blaine smiled again. We're just not that fancy. Do you think she's a seamstress? We believe she may have those skills, whether it's a job or a hobby. If she submitted her book, she likely did it at your publisher. I don't think that happened. They'd have notified me after Mom sent them the letter if they'd gotten a manuscript from that name. Okay. We're reading through the books, getting a sense of the story, and particularly of the first victim and killer in each. But it would be helpful if you could send me, we'll say, a kind of profile on those characters, a basic outline of the crime scenes. I can and will. I know what you mean. Good. I'm going to give you the same instructions I did yesterday. Don't open the door to anyone you don't know. Nobody comes in the house you don't know. If you see anything or anyone that makes you uncomfortable, contact your local police, then me. She paused, studying Delano's face. I'm going to add, if beefing up your personal security makes you feel safer, then do that. I'm going to. My mother, my girls aren't in the books, but they're part of me. We'll get us some bodyguards. Audrey added a little shoulder shake to try to lighten her daughter's worry. Good-looking ones. Mom. Delano laughed a little, then sighed. You'll stop her, she said to Eve. Let's say I intend to write the ending. Eve showed them out, went back to her office to add to her notes. Minutes later, her inner office signaled. I've got Loxy Flash in A, Peabody told her. Do you want me in there? Keep it what you're doing. I'll take her. She wound her way back. Loxy Flash fit the physical description of the third victim well enough. Had a few more pounds on her, wore her hair longer, but gave off the same vibe. The fuckhead vibe. In the book, Bliss Cather had, in the last hours of her life, spiky hair of the palest blonde tipped with black. Plenty of piercings on both, though Cather had gone for an eyebrow bar, and the live and in-person Loxy chose what Eve thought of as a bull ring, a hoop studded through the tender dividing line of the nostrils. A lot of tats, plenty of heavy makeup. The skin shirt proclaimed ball buster over a pair of impressive, unharnessed breasts. Jeans, held together with lacing at the hips, showed a lot of skin. Loxy curled her lip, spoke with a raspy verbal sneer. What the fuck's your damage, bitch? Lieutenant, bitch. Eve sat. And I'm here to tell you a story that might save your life. There's a woman out there who may be thinking about killing you. Shit. Bitches don't want to kill me, assahola. Bitches want to be me. Not this one, because maybe she's crazy. Loxy curled her lip in an arrogant sneer. Crazy don't stop my sleep, none. This one's about 5'6", white, red hair with blue side dreads. She'll have a tat of an orange dragon on the inside of her right wrist. She'll try to look about 25, but she's older. Older bitches are boring. She's not. You've seen her around. Places you hang out, places you party. I see a lot of people. Any of those people look like the person I just described? Loxy shrugged. If they ain't on my team, I don't pay them much mind. Look, bitch badge, I gotta sleep. Had a bad night. You had a big night breaking your parole. If you don't want a big night in a cage, lose the bullshit. Eve shoved the stills from the surveillance feed across the table. Have you seen her? Jesus, what is that clucker fucker wearing? Looks like she got swallowed by ugly. I don't know people who wear dumbass coats covered in lame-ass birds. You haven't seen the coat before. If I'd have seen that coat, I'd have lit it on fire. Look at her face. Take a good look. I'm telling you, I don't know this bitch. You think I hang with losers like this? I'm telling you, if you do see her, keep away from her and contact me. If you see her, white, red hair with blue side dreads, orange dragon tat inside her right wrist, she's there to kill you. Bull, Loxie shot up her index finger, and shit, then her middle. You'd be her third, so she's had experience. Two people are in the morgue who might have claimed bull and shit. Do yourself a favor and stay out of the clubs for a couple weeks, and don't drink any martinis. I'm in rehab, bitch. No drinking, no clubbing, no party time. Eve looked into the bloodshot eyes, still glassy from breaking parole. I don't give a rat's ass if you drink yourself into a coma or pop enough erotica to bang your way from dusk to dawn. Just stay out of the clubs. Stay out of the clubs if you want to live. Leaning forward, Eve pushed the photo under Loxie's nose. Look at her. Remember her. She's crazy, Eve said. And if she's fixed on you, she'll hit you in a club. That's her plan. She'll poison you with a martini, pomegranate, because she's got the jumps for your ex. Glaze? Loxie flicked her fingers in the air, but bright green jealousy flicked in her eyes at the same time. All hers. I'm done with that fuckhead. She wants to make sure of it. She doesn't like you, Loxie. She blames you. Glaze, he doesn't even know she exists, but she'll kill you to save him from you, to have him for herself. Get this point. She's crazy. Crazy enough to wear that fugly coat. She won't be wearing it the next time you see her. Get this in your head. White, red hair with blue side dreads, orange dragon tat on the inside of her right wrist. It'll be loud. It'll be crowded when she puts that martini down in front of you. The house band's gonna be playing one of Glaze's numbers. Her request. It's the last thing you hear before you drink that idiot martini with the cyanide she dropped in it. For the first time, Loxie looked worried. Her eyebrows knitted. She gnawed on the thumbnail painted glittery black. You're talking about the future, man, and that's bullshit. How come you know all this? I read the book. 13. Eve stopped off at vending. She wanted something cold, and if the machine gave her grief, well, she'd kick its ass the way regulations had prevented her from kicking Loxie flashes. She plugged in for a tube of Pepsi, snagged what it shat out. This is a damn diet cream soda, you fuck! Inappropriate language noted. Fester's Diet Cream Soda offers classic taste guilt-free. There is no nutritional value, and certain additives, listed on request, may pose health risks, including... Shut up! Just shut the fuck up and give me my damn Pepsi! Second incident of inappropriate language noted. Warning, a third incident will result in suspension of vending privileges. Note this. I will rip your circuits out with my bare hands, blast them to oblivion with my police issue if you don't give me a damn Pepsi. Threats of vandalism will be reported, Harkov, Detective Clint. Acts of vandalism will result in suspension of vending privileges and a $2,000 fine plus costs of damages. Eve started to tell the idiot computerized pain in her ass she wasn't Harkov, Detective Clint, then reconsidered. Give me the tube of Pepsi I ordered. It shat one out. Your account has been charged for one tube of Pepsi, Pepsi, the choice of generations.
That would be Harkov's account,
Eve thought as the machine spouted off its hype and warnings. Two notations of inappropriate language and one threat of vandalism have been added to your file.
Yeah.
Eve cracked the tube. Add this. You can bite me. Eve walked into homicide. Peabody. When Peabody looked up, Eve tossed the tube of cream soda.
Hey, thanks.
Thank Detective Clint Harkov.
Who's that? I have no idea. Progress? I washed out on my usual shops, but I've got some direction from the manager of one I use a lot. How to go with Flash.
Eve took a moment to drink some Harkov Pepsi.
Skank.
Told you.
Bad attitude, Skank, with a heavy side of asshole. But I got under her skin by the end of it. She's warned. She has the description of the unsub and claims she's going home to sleep. As she hadn't yet reached the hungover, strung-out stage of her night's binge, that I believe.
You've got another coming in. At least she said she'd give us 5 on her way to a recording session. She claims she's putting a band together that blows your skin off. Shauna K. Just the initial for the last name because, she says, labels limit expression.
Can't wait.
And Nadine's on her way.
Good. Eve wrote up the interview with Loxie, went out again to repeat the routine with Shauna K. Shauna didn't call her bitch, listened with wide eyes heavily lashed in magenta, smiled with lips outlined in tiny, tiny sparkles, and dismissed everything Eve told her, as she claimed people only killed other people when they'd run afoul of each other in a past life. As she herself had undergone reincarnate cleansing, she was therefore absolved of all past life transgressions. Still, Eve pressed, pushed, went so far as to wipe the sparkle smile away by shoving photos of the DBs across the table. By the end, she figured if she hadn't put the fear of reincarnated gods into Shauna K, she'd put the fear of Dallas into her. That would have to do. On the way back, she caught it. The siren's perfume. The aroma of sin. Chocolate. Nadine stood in her bullpen, laughing with Santiago as every cop in the place scarfed down brownies.
Any cop currently in the field, using the John or doing their damn job trying to save some reincarnated skank's life, would be dead out of luck, brownie-wise.
She noted Nadine had, as instructed, brought a camera, and the woman appeared to be reading the division motto posted over the break room door with interest. She noted, too, Nadine had brought along her new intern. Quilla perched on the corner of Peabody's desk, chattering away and eating a brownie. She'd whacked her hair short, with sharp points over both ears, a trio of them at the neck, a grouping of narrower ones over the forehead. Some of them were the blue you might get if you lit gas on fire, then tossed in some napalm. Eve had stopped wondering why people insisted on adding colors not seen in nature to various parts of their bodies. The kid spotted her, grinned. She'd added that blue to her lash tips, too, Eve observed. She wore ear hoops and a red sweater with black baggies and chunky lace-up-to-the-knee boots. Quilla said,
Hey.
Hey. Aren't you supposed to be in school or something?
I got a waiver for the day. Educational career training.
Thanks for the recommend.
Yeah. Don't blow it.
I'm gonna rock it so solid.
Quilla looked around as she spoke. Been in the cops, but never in homicide before.
I figured it would look more chill and spill.
We mop up the blood and gore every morning. Quilla snickered, and spoke again before Eve could turn to Nadine. They took us on a field trip last month.
Great.
Peabody, find some place to plant the kid while we... They took us to Ondadine. It's a whack name, but frosty whack. So, they let us go through and look at the plans. And a couple of people who are going to work there talked to us about what's the what and all that.
Okay.
It's going to be sweet, you know. It's going to be solid sweet. We even went up to the roof, and they talked about the memorial for the girls who got killed, and how we're going to have a garden up there. I hung back when everybody went down. We weren't supposed to, but you don't always do what you're supposed to. Quilla made it a grin with an exaggerated shrug. What's the fun in that? Anyway, I did it because I wanted a minute up there by myself to think what I've been thinking since it all went down. One of those girls could have been me. I mean, the crazy guy was gone and all, but that's just timing, right? It could have been any of the girls who are going to live in the new digs. They said maybe it'll be ready in May, and that's not too long to wait.
Are things okay where you are?
They don't all the way suck. Quilla shrugged it off, then glanced at Nadine with a gleam in her eyes. They're gonna get better. Eve moved closer. She's no pushover, kid. Why would I want, like, career training from a pushover? If I'm gonna rock it solid, I need a solid to show me the ropes, right?
Good thinking.
Nadine, my office. Just you right now. Nadine signaled to her camera to wait, turned to Quilla. Observe, she instructed. I want a 30-second report on the homicide bullpen, any aspect thereof, when I'm done. Can I observe the one-on-one, you know, observe you work? Observe here, Nadine ordered, and followed Eve. I've either made a brilliant stroke or a terrible mistake.
You're taking her on?
God, she's smart. I figured that out in one quick minute. Sly, too, and I admire Sly. She's also going to be a pain in my ass. I know it. Just like I know the sensible thing would be to go to Columbia or NYU and interview solid journalism students. I'm not altogether sure whether I took her on or she took me, but I've got myself a teenage intern. And now I have to file weekly reports on her with Child Services, with copies to my own boss and to the head of the shelter. She will be a pain in your ass, but you'll probably like it.
Lois?
Nadine's eyebrows lifted. I figure that's what the rocker calls you when you're banging. Smoothly, Nadine reached into a handbag the size of a semi, pulled out a compact, and checked her face. When you're banged well, it doesn't matter what they call you. However, I'm just seeing Jake casually, now and again.
Right.
He's busy, I'm busy, and he travels quite a bit. Our lifestyles are very different, though he's certainly more stable and steady than most expect from a rocker. Eve said nothing for a moment, then blew out a breath. Jesus! You're serious about him! I don't know what I am, or he is. We are. Nadine tossed her compact back in the enormous bowels of her bag. We only started seeing each other a few weeks ago, and I'm not looking for serious anyway. We're not even exclusive. Not that I'm seeing anybody else right now, because I'm busy. God, I really like him. I need coffee, since you won't have any booze in here. Eve turned to the auto chef, and Nadine dropped down in the desk chair. You know, I have my own show, and now's ratings are solid. They're rock solid. I have the desk at 75. I have one bestseller under my belt, and I'm up for a goddamn Oscar for the screenplay adaptation.
I've written another book, and it's damn well going to be a bestseller. I have an amazing new apartment, and I'm actually thinking about buying a vacation home in Aruba or somewhere. But when the hell am I going to actually use it for more than a blink of time because I'm busy?
Yeah, you said. Eve handed Nadine coffee.
So why did I get it into my head to take on this teenager?
I think you said something about mentoring and molding.
Yeah, yeah. And I wasn't even drunk at the time. I'm taking on this smart, sly kid because I lost my mind. Why the hell am I getting tangled up on the personal side with a rock star?
He bangs right?
Funny.
And that would be one thing. That's the okay. This is fun. No worries.
But there are so many aspects to him. The music, and that's core to him. The audience, and they matter to him. His bandmates, they're like family. And he's interesting and aware. He's not an asshole.
Not being an asshole's important.
It is! Who's arguing?
Nadine sighed. I am.
Do we have to go have ice cream now or something?
Nadine's sigh turned into the gimlet eye.
No.
Are you going to give me the brownie you've got stashed in that blimp you haul around?
How do you know I have a brownie in my purse? I can smell it. Give.
Nadine took it out, held it out. Eve unwrapped it, bit in.
Do you want to know the actual reason you're here?
Yes.
Nadine swiped her hands in the air, made a shoving motion. The other is now outside the door. She gestured to the board. And as I'm telling my young apprentice, reporters observe. You've got a suspect. Two. Working together?
Observe more closely.
Obliging, Nadine rose, walked to the board, studied the shots from the VidPalace's feed.
One. That's the same person?
Entering a male, she noted. Sunshades, watch cap, bulky coat. Leaving as female. Truly horrible coat. Pom-pom ear flap hat, those ridiculous wind goggles. But same boots, same pants. Wait, wait! That's Dark Days! That killing? The actress, the vid? And the killer was male.
Eyes sparkling, Nadine turned back.
Not just killing someone representing a character, but killing as a character.
We're not going public with that.
Ouch.
I've got a line on her, Nadine. Wannabe writer, obsessed with Delano. I've got correspondence.
Eve summed it up quickly. How is Blaine dealing?
She's hiring security.
She'll be smart. I'm going to talk to her about this. I'll keep her name out of it as long as possible.
What are you looking for with the one-on-one?
We've linked two cases and are investigating them as connected. We believe we're looking for one suspect. I'm primary on both cases. I'm heading a team focused on bringing this individual to justice. You'll ask what you ask. I'll give you that can't comment when I can't, give you a few juicy bits when I can. She needs to see me as an adversary. I don't think it'll take her off Delano, she's too dug in, but it will give her something to worry about. It'll shake the bubble she's living in. It may damn well pop it.
Jiggling a foot, Nadine nodded.
You're changing the plot on her, writing yourself in. I can tell you that introducing a major element, like a new antagonist, changes everything.
I'm counting on it. Let's get it done.
Eve hit the inner office.
Peabody, send Nadine's camera in.
Nadine took out the compact again, and this time actually did check her face, dusted her nose, then glanced over as not only the camera woman but Quilla came to the door. You're on bullpen observation. Quilla stood very straight, turned to the camera woman, who grinned back at her.
The detectives and uniformed officers who inhabit the homicide bullpen at NYPSD's Cop Central may spend some parts of their shifts at desks, talking on links, writing reports, meticulously gathering data on investigations. But these often tedious tasks are as essential a part of the job they perform as confronting suspects and apprehending killers. They perform these duties with dedication and with a kind of intricate camaraderie, like soldiers during a battle lull. Their standards, their duty, their ethics are encapsulated in the motto they've posted in the bullpen to remind them what it is to carry a badge and work for the victim. It reads, "No matter your race, creed, sexual orientation, or political affiliation, we protect and serve, because you could get dead. Even if you were an asshole." These are the words the brave men and women of the NYPSD Homicide Division live by.
Nadine touched up her lip dye. "You ran over the 30, so you'd need some editing. And you've fallen back on passive voice here and there. Example, the motto in their bullpen speaks for itself. Then you quote it. Active voice, fewer words. Got it. Can I observe the one-on-one? Stay off camera and keep it zipped." As Quilla pumped a fist at her side, Nadine saw her eyes track to Eve's board. It made her proud. "That's off the record," she said briskly. "Any journalist who doesn't respect off the record has no ethics and doesn't deserve to be a journalist. I've got that too. Can I ask you questions later?" "Why would I want an intern who didn't ask questions?" Nadine returned. "But right now, zipped. No visual of the board," she added to the camera woman as she rose. "Let's see how it looks by that sorry excuse for a window. A little slice of the city outside, the murder cop all in fuck you black, the hard-driving crime beat reporter in her serious if elegant plum. How's the light?"
"Second," the camera woman muttered as she made adjustments. "Good. Good light."
"Contents the big guns," Nadine told Quilla as she took her angle. "But on air, if you want those bullets to penetrate, visuals matter. We'll do the intro back at the station, so a straight-on two-shot. In 3, 2... "Lieutenant Dallas," she began. Nadine hit all the points. Eve kept it short and pithy, and tossed in a touch of arrogance with one viewer in mind. She judged it a satisfying use of her time, and calculated Nadine would have it on air within an hour, with repeat showings through the evening. Before she could get back to her desk, Peabody came in.
"Got you another skank. In fact, 2 for 1. Turns out they're frenemies and came in together."
Eve considered. "I'll take them together, then. It may have more impact that way.
I'll set them up. Oh, and I may have a line on the fabric. And now I'm pretty sure you're right about her making that coat. I'm waiting for a tag back. How about that Quilla?"
"How about her?"
"Seriously, Dallas, she's really excited about working with Nadine. Talk about impact. It's the kind of opportunity that can change the direction of a life. She told me she binge-watched, like, 6 hours of Nadine's reports and some of now, and she put in a request to read the ICOV agenda. She really wants to learn."
Peabody pulled out her signaling link.
"That's my tag back."
"Take it. I'll set up the skanks.
They're right outside the bullpen."
Eve went out, studied the pair of them, decided they'd entered a contest on who could present a skankier appearance. She judged it a tie.
"I'm Lieutenant Dallas.
The one on the left rolled her thickly cold eyes at the one on the right, with the tattoo on the vast landscape revealed by the low scoop of her skin top that read, "Sexy Bitch." Sexy Bitch said,
"B to the FD."
Her companion laughed so hard it made the cock and balls earrings hanging from her lobes dance and spin. Eve led them to interview, spent nearly 30 minutes delivering the warning. Cock and Balls seemed genuinely frightened. Enough, she ignored Sexy Bitch's derision and stated she intended to go stay with her mother in New Jersey for a few days. Sexy Bitch claimed no crazy cunt scared her and nobody messed with her good time. But Eve read fear in her eyes. When she released them, Eve sat in the relative peace of the box and wondered what set a life in the direction of sporting genitalia as an accessory or having somebody carve "sexy bitch" into your flesh. Peabody gave the door a quick rap, opened it.
"Dallas, I hit two outlets that carry the fabric, and the fact the fabric exists makes it a damn sure bet that coat was handmade. I think the outlet on the Lower East Side's the best shot. I talked the manager into looking up sales of 3 yards or more prior to Christmas. She's got one for 5 yards, logged in on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It's the only sale of enough yardage to make that coat."
Eve rose. "Good work. The clerk who logged it's on a break, but she's due back in 20. Let's go talk to her. We can do a skank run while we're at it. One on the list lives a couple blocks from the outlet."
Eve thought of the 4 women she'd already dealt with. "I'm gonna need more coffee."
Peabody worked her link as they made their way to the garage.
"Another outlet, Brooklyn. It's the first I found in Brooklyn."
Peabody slid into the car, strapped in.
"I hit there first, figuring if she lives there, she'd go for fabric stores there. But this is the first I've found that confirms that fabric. Still, they don't have a record of a sale over 2 yards.
Maybe she works at a fabric store.
Even employees have to log the yardage. Otherwise, the manager or owner doesn't know what's selling for inventory and reorders, or what's low on yardage and maybe going on remnants or clearance. You can get some really nice remnants for small projects and crafts. And the fact is, the people I've talked to all say the same thing. That particular fabric sells primarily 1 to 2 yards. Something for kids, for a craft. A lot of 1 yard sales for winter and holiday crafty gifts and decorations."
Whether or not she lives in Brooklyn, she has to come over the bridge to study and stalk her targets. No reason she can't shop while she's over here.
That's what I thought, and I think this place is where she shopped. It's not that popular a fabric. I only found 4 places, all boroughs, that carried it at all, and only this one with the right yardage.
She might have bought it online. But Peabody shook her head even as she considered it.
"I've bought fabric, more like a sample of it, that way if I really know what I want and can't find it in my usual spots. But that fabric? How could she decide she had to have penguins all over the coat? What she'd want is something easy to work with. Why would she care about pattern?"
"I think, considering the pattern she used, she didn't."
"Exactly. And Black Friday, it was on sale."
Watching the budget, Eve thought. Shop the big sale, buy the cheap. Look for a silly pattern. Who thinks stone killer when they look at a bunch of penguins? Girly pattern. Come in as a guy, leave as a girl. Again, who's gonna look twice?
We are.
That's not how she wrote it. She's going to think about that when she catches Nadine's report. She found a parking spot that required a two-block walk. What fell out of the sky now was a cold and bitter rain, the sort that made her hate February with every cell in her body. And still she found that icy wet less of a chore than time spent in the bright, patterned, swirling world of the sewing basket. Big bolts of fabric rose in stacks on tables. Hanks and balls of yarn swung from walls. Spools of thread, huge to tiny, formed pyramids or towers. Buttons, also huge to tiny, glinted and glowed. Why had she never noticed that buttons with two holes looked like faces with empty eyes? Why had she never considered that? Big, cheerful signs marked sections. Button World, Yarn City, on needles and pins. But the worst of it, the part that made her back itch, were the fake people. Men, women, children, even household pets suspended from the ceiling. And they all smiled. Peabody pressed both hands to her chest. Oh, my God! I know. They dress fake people. They give them fake dogs and cats wearing coats and vests and, Jesus, little hats. Then they hang them. It's just sick. How have I missed this place? Oh, look at the colors on that Egyptian cotton. It would make a mag duvet cover. Maybe it'll go on sale. Oh, and those yarns. The pastels look like Easter eggs. Spring sweaters. The voice, the eyes, sparkled, and had Eve taking a hard grip on Peabody's arm. No. If I could just know. Ride your hobby horse off duty. Music played. Not loudly, but it hit the obsessively chirpy level on Eve's personal gauge. The way customers, men, women, children, and household pets, packed the place, told her Peabody had a lot of company on that hobby horse. A woman scurried by, hauling a bolt of something pink and shiny, topped by a bolt of something white and frothy. She risked releasing Peabody to snag her. We need the manager. Oh. Obviously distracted, the woman glanced around. She was just here. That pink shantung is gorgeous, Peabody commented. Isn't it? And perfect for a girl's ballet recital with this tulle? So sweet. Manager, Eve repeated. Oh, yes, Carlene. There she is, in the midnight mohair, gradated tunic, and ebony velvet slimmers. I'd take you back to her, but the young diva and her mother are waiting for these fabrics. What the hell is a gradated tunic? It's the mohair yarn that's gradated. I see her. All the way back through the maze of tables, the towers, the stacks, Peabody made yummy noises and wistful sighs. 14. They found the manager, long sweater in varying blended blues, in an intense discussion with a man in a fitted vest, a precisely knotted tie, and a topcoat over his arm. The tone reminded her of people whose views closely aligned discussing some political event. Apparently, this had to do with the weight of yarn and the size of hooks. They both appeared to be very passionate. Excuse me. Eve held up her badge. Lieutenant Dallas, Detective Peabody. We contacted you earlier. The woman, who looked like someone's sensible grandmother, despite the bun on the top of her head, wrapped up in some sort of yarny thing that matched the sweater, patted a hand on the man's arm. Give me a minute, Sherwood. Of course, Kathleen. I'll be over with the alpaca. Lovely scarves, ladies. Your own handiwork? Eve just pointed at Peabody. I used Angel Brand Black Knight, medium weight, number 9 needles for the main body, and 7 for the thin stripe.
For mine, it's in the pink, alternating every six rows with white night, then sing the blues, using a 17 because I wanted it really chunky.
May I? He took the end of Peabody's scarf, examined it. One side. The other. Lark's head knot for the fringe.
Yeah.
Really exceptional work.
Thank you. I've worked with alpaca a couple times for special projects, but it's usually out of my range. It's just a fabulous store, and I'm coming back on my day off. I could spend hours.
Eve's patience frayed like a sloppily sewed seam.
Yeah, it's great, but we really need to speak with the clerk about that fabric.
Of course, of course. That was Lydia. Let's go hunt her down. I'll be back with you shortly, Sherwood.
Take your time, dear.
Lydia should be... Yes, yes, there she is, in silks. Lydia!
The clerk set a bolt of red on a stack of jewel tones and turned. Mid-twenties, Eve judged, in a short green dress with brass buttons running down the front and back, green tights with colorful socks topping a pair of short boots.
These are police officers.
Oh, well, geez.
It's about some fabric you sold.
Was something wrong with it?
We're interested in who bought it. Eve pulled out the photo. This fabric. This woman.
That's Playful Penguins. Look, Carlene, she made a coat with it.
Yes, I see. Interesting choice. Apparently, she bought 5 yards, Lydia, in the Black Friday sale.
Oh, man, that was a crazy day. I mean, crazy!
Do you remember the sale? Eve pressed.
Honestly, after a couple of hours, I barely remembered my name. We sold this mostly for craft projects, right, Carlene?
That's right. Take a moment. Think back. I'm just going to get what we have left of the bolt.
We opened at 8, Carlene reminded her as she hurried off.
How could I forget?
The clerk's eyes shot to the heavens.
We had regulars waiting for us to open the doors. A lot of them brought friends. Plus we had specials for the first 50 customers, and those were gone in about 20 minutes.
The penguin fabric. Eve reminded her.
Yeah, I was in fabrics all day.
Yarns and tools got hit even harder, but we sold miles.
A lot of holiday-themed fabrics for crafts and batting. I had to break up what looked like it was going to be a fight over the last 3 yards of peace on Earth, which is kind of ironic, and luckily we had another bolt in the back, but... 5 yards of Playful Penguins.
Carlene came back with the bolt. Eve decided it was just as ugly in person.
This is the last of it. It looks like about 2 yards. You can certainly take it with you if you need it. It's 54 inches wide, and it was marked down to $12.99 a yard on Black Friday. Another 25% discount for any purchase of 5 yards or more from the same bolt.
That's right!
Lydia shot a finger in the air.
I forgot that. 5 yards. 5.
Lydia closed her eyes, put her hands over her face, ticked her head right and left.
I think I remember. A little. It's the 5 yards, the extra discount.
Wanted 4.
She said 4 yards, and I said if you buy 5, you get another 25% off. So under 10 a yard.
She dropped her hands.
It's what I said to anybody who wanted 3 or 4 yards, so it's pretty blurry. And like I said, we were just slammed. But I sort of remember.
Can you describe her?
I couldn't even start to. I'm really sorry. She wasn't a regular. I'd remember a regular.
Take a look at her again. Eve held it out. It might help bring it back.
I can't really see her. Did she do something really wrong?
Yes.
She wasn't mean or rude or loud or pushy. You remember the ones who are, and I don't. I'd have asked if she needed anything else, like you do. Thread or buttons and so on. Maybe somebody else helped her and would remember.
She only bought the 5 yards, Carlene said. Cash sale. Lydia says she wasn't a regular, but if she made that coat, she's no novice. I'm sorry, we can't be of more help.
It was a long shot, Eve admitted.
If she comes back in, contact me immediately. Don't confront her, but stall if possible.
Carlene took the card Peabody offered.
If she comes in wearing the coat, we won't miss her. I'll let the rest of the staff know.
Officer Peabody?
Detective.
Detective, Sherwood wants you to have this. She offered Peabody a shopping bag.
Oh, that's really nice, but we're not supposed to.
She peeked in, all but moaned.
It's alpaca,
she murmured, as if to a lover, as she drew out skeins of soft blue, tender rose, cloudy white, and fine sand.
Sherwood said an artist deserves good fresh paint.
It's so thoughtful, so nice, but I really can't.
I should add Sherwood owns the store and the alpacas. He'd be very disappointed if you didn't accept.
I'm
looking the other way, Eve grumbled.
Really?
I'm walking out. If you see her, Eve repeated, contact me.
Peabody gathered the bag to her breasts.
Please thank him for me. I can't wait.
And I'll be back, off duty.
She rushed after Eve, too thrilled to remember to linger over the Egyptian cotton.
Thanks.
I didn't give you anything, and I didn't see anything, and I don't want to hear about your new boyfriend.
He can be my yarn boyfriend. McNabb will understand.
Where's the skank's apartment? And pull your damn nose out of the bag I don't see.
A block past where we parked.
Good. Then you can put that bag I don't see and you're not carrying in the car before you fall into an alpaca coma.
I think I've had a couple of alpaca orgasms, but no coma.
Keep your weird wool orgasms to yourself.
Actually, it's hair. Alpaca hair into fiber into...
Shut up and put that damn bag I don't see in the car.
She bought an extra yard, Eve continued, because of the discount. So she falls for sales. Or she figured she'd use the other yard for something. She's not a regular, but she knew the place, heard about it, saw an ad, whatever, and hit it on a major sale day.
Peabody secured the bag.
It's covering her tracks. She doesn't think the cops are going to put it together, but just in case we do, she buys the material in a place where she's not familiar, and on a day not only for bargains, but crowds, when the clerks are slammed. The odds are, if we got this far, we'd dead end. And that's where we are.
But smarter to buy something plain. Something unremarkable we'd never have been able to trace to a vendor. She buys something unique, noticeable. Because under it all, she craves just that. Being noticed.
It's a weakness. It'll break her down in the end.
If her next target's on the list of people we've notified, and if they actually listen, we'll have more time. Peabody gestured toward a building.
Working the names, I narrowed the clubs, too. They do club crawls and hit off places, but mostly all of them stick to the hot spots.
Narrow those down by the book. Eve opted to master her way into the building. It'll be licensed for consensual sex and have privacy rooms. Licensed for performance nudity. Live performances, not hollows. Add the high-dollar drinks, celebrity sightings, VIP sections.
I'll whittle it down.
Considering the brownies she'd devoured, Peabody didn't complain even in her head about using the stairs. Plus, Yola Bloomfield lived on the second floor. Yola had decorated her door with a hex sign and an artful little drawing of two scaly-skinned demons copulating.
"She paints," Peabody explained. "Calls her work op-ex-art, as in the opposite of the expected."
"On the other hand, that's just what I expect demons to do when they're not munching human intestines," Eve pointed out. "Unexpected would be to have them dancing under a rainbow in a meadow." She hit the buzzer.
"It could be a series," Peabody considered. "First they munch, then they dance, then they have demon sex."
"Expected again. Standard date any species." "I'm probably going to have nightmares." Eve buzzed again, longer. On the second, she got a, "What the fuck do you want?" from the speaker. "NYPSD." She held up her badge.
"We need to speak with Yola Bloomfield."
She heard the snick of locks, the rattle of chains, the slide of bolts. If you dismissed the orange and black hair tied with some sort of rag on top of her head, the woman who opened the door didn't look like a skank. She wore a shapeless, paint-splattered shirt over ragged jeans and ratty house skids. Other than the trio of hoops through her right eyebrow, her face was unadorned and unpainted. She smelled of paint and soap.
"What the hell? I'm clean for 4 months. Just had my regular test 2 days ago."
"We're not here about illegals."
"Good, because I haven't had so much as a puff of Zoner for 4 months. What do you want?"
"I'm working." "If we can come in, we'll tell you and get out of your way."
"Fine."
"Fuck." She waved a hand, left the door open as she stalked away into a room she obviously used as her studio. Rather than a sofa, a chair, a screen, or anything usually found in a living space, she had a long, burly workbench and a big shelf crowded with painting supplies. Easels, canvases, something green and cloudy in a tall, clear cup Eve took for solvent until Yola picked it up, gulped some down. On the walls, paintings and drawings of various forms of violence and misery crowded together. More demons, no rainbows, an enormous bat with the head of a man, a woman in a pool of blood at the feet of a hooded man, a winged woman running a forked tongue down the torso of a screaming woman in chains. The one on the easel centered at the window still gleamed wet. A variety of crawling, flying, slithering things came out of a wide, jagged chasm in what appeared to be Times Square. The sky swirled red. People ran screaming while others were consumed.
"You can sit on the floor."
"We'll stand." Yola shrugged, plopped on the single stool in the room.
"Look, I'm not so pissed off at the rehab shit. I did my 90, and I'm not bitching about the unscheduled tests. I'm clean, and I'm working better because I'm clean. Clear mind. I'm drinking veg smoothies. Clean out the toxins, get healthy. I'm chilled."
"Good for you." "We're here because your name came up during the course of our investigation into 2 murders.
"Fuck that!"
"You're not a suspect, Ms. Bloomfield, but a potential target."
"Fuck that squared."
Peabody walked the photo over.
"Do you know or have you seen this woman?"
"Can't see her anyway. And does she look like somebody I'd hook with? I've got standards and she's below the line."
"She's already killed 2x.
"What's she got against me?"
"She's delusional, Ms. Bloomfield."
Eve held back. Let Peabody take point.
"She's reenacting murder scenes from books."
"No shit.
Now that's iced. Yola toasted with her veg smoothie. Serious performance art.
You won't admire the concept if you end up in the morgue.
Harsh. Considering, Yola drank again. So what's my scene? What's my part? Death's the ultimate, sure, but I'm not going there yet.
The killer will be obsessed with your ex.
Which ex?
Stone Bailey.
The stoner? Yola let out a hard laugh. I haven't bumped uglies with him since I got busted. He's the reason I did, the asshole. And now that I'm clean, I got the big fuck-off from him. How about I tell this whack job she can have him? Not that she'll get the chance. He can't lay off the Zeus, can't lay off the tits and ass.
She gestured to the bat painting.
I did that one to remind me. He's a fucking vampire.
In her mind, you're preventing him from reaching his potential as a musician, as a man.
Bogus.
It won't matter. The character in the book poisons the victim in a club. She puts cyanide in a martini, a pomtini.
Yola made gagging noises. I wouldn't drink that shit if I was still using and stone stupid.
You're running the wrong way. I want to get back to work.
She won't look like she does in the picture, Eve put in. When she moves on the person she's chosen to represent the character, she'll blend into the club scene. She's white, about 5'6". She'll have red hair with blue side dreads. She'll have an orange dragon on the inside of her right wrist.
I don't care how she looks, she won't be looking at me.
Yola started to drink again, stopped, slowly lowered the glass.
Orange dragon?
That's right. You've seen her.
Orange dragon? It was fierce. I did some sketches.
She hopped up, grabbed a couple of sketchbooks, pawed through.
Yeah, yeah, fierce, see?
Eve looked down at the sketch of a dragon, keen teeth bared, lethal tail coiled to strike.
Where did you see her?
I don't know. Maybe Hellfire? Maybe Screw You? It could have been Dive Down.
Look, I hit the clubs now and then. I don't use, and I've been keeping it to a couple brews. I go for inspiration. Take my sketchbook. Yeah, I connect with people, and I've gotten a ram-bam. Nobody said I couldn't have sex, right? I hit one of the clubs 2-3 times a week, maybe bounce between. I'm gonna say I saw Orange Dragon a couple weeks back, maybe.
Did you talk to her? Go up to her?
No, I just sketched the tat. Only got a quick look, it seems to me. Any hot club's gonna be jammed and canned.
It could have been Sticks.
I mostly stick with those four, unless I hear there's gonna be action somewhere else.
You're an artist, Eve began.
An op-ex artist.
Whatever. You notice details, faces, body types.
I look at the overview, see? Maybe you zoom in on something, like the tat, but mostly it's the blur and whirl, and you fill in the details from your mind, your guts.
Maybe you zoomed in on her around here, in the neighborhood, on the street.
The neighborhood's a false front.
Dismissing it, Yola flicked a hand at the window.
I need something, I get it delivered. I got no reason to go out there until the sun's down. That's when the real world starts to live. I saw the tat. Orange tat, white skin, that's it.
Stay out of the clubs for a few weeks.
I tell you, I wouldn't drink her sick-ass pomtini.
She could find another way. Stay clean, stay away from the clubs, stay alive.
Eve turned toward the door, stopped. You got a mother?
Sure I've got a mother. What the fuck?
Where's she stand with you?
My mom?
Well, she was smart enough to tell me the stoner was wrong, but hell, why would I listen?
We've gone at it plenty, but she's proud I've got my 4 months in. Tags me every damn day.
She doesn't give up. In the book, the dead woman had a mother who didn't give up. Be smart, Yola. Stay out of the clubs.
Do you think?